Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to episode 15 of AI Movie Night. I'm your host, Joe Simpson, and tonight I'm joined by two great guests to discuss all things Carlito's Way. Firstly, I'm joined by Ben Thornley, Executive Editor of Sports Content at the North Wales Daily Post. How are you, Ben?
I'm good, thanks, mate. Yourself?
I'm great, thanks. Thanks very much for joining me tonight. I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts on this. I know you love the film like myself, so thanks again for joining me.
No worries, mate.
I'm also lucky enough to be joined by journalist and author Carl Copper. How are you doing, Carl?
Yeah, not bad, mate. You're right.
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Thanks as well to yourself for joining me. As I say, I'm looking forward to hearing both your thoughts. So I'm going to get straight into it because obviously, as ever, there's a lot to talk about and time's limited. So I'm going to go straight into it. As always, as you know, I start by asking about when you first saw the film. So, Ben, if you can tell me when you first saw Carlito's Way and what you thought of it at the time, please.
I think I first saw it when it was on television, probably about 97, when I'd be about 18 or 19, on the recommendation of a mate, and it just blew me away. I thought it was fantastic, really. It felt really fast-paced at the time, and more than anything, Pacino just seemed cooler than ever, didn't he?
Yeah, very much so, very much so. That beard and that leather jacket.
Yeah, I think it's possibly like the greatest beard that's ever been in a film. I think it maybe like a beard at 18 or 19, and I don't think I was able to.
It's up there with Rocky IV, isn't it?
And the Running Man. Still, at least in the Running Man.
I like it. What about yourself, Carl?
Again, the sad thing about this podcast is I always have to reveal my age every single time I do it. I saw it at the cinema, I think about the second or third week it came out. And yeah, to be honest, you couldn't really go wrong. It's De Palma, it's Pacino, it's about gangsters. There's some sort of moral perspective about the whole film. And he was still good Pacino then. I really went off Pacino a lot, but he was good Pacino then. I was all for him.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think I was a teenager myself, and I can distinctly remember. I think I was in my friend's brothers or something like that in their house, and they were very kind. They'd always lend us tapes and things when we were bored, and I'd seen everything in their little cabinet, and that was the only one left. And I don't know, I could be wrong here because at that time I weren't as into films as I am now, but I think I had the vibe that Pacino was in like a low period then. It may or not be true, but that was my sort of impression. I hadn't heard of it, and I just saw it, and it didn't appeal at all, but it was either that or watch nothing that night where I was getting off, and I just thought, oh, I'll take it, and I'll just give it a try. And then I took it. Go on, sorry.
So I was going to say, you know, you're talking about Pacino going through a low thing. I felt the same way. But I'm looking now at the films he made from about 1990 to 1995. Do you want me to go through them?
Yeah, go on. I'd love that.
You know, because obviously, famously, De Niro did a lot of crap in the '80s because he just used the money to fund his restaurant and stuff.
Yeah.
So let's start from 89, Sea of Love, which I think was an Oscar. The Local Stigmatic, never heard of it. Dick Tracy, Godfather 3, whatever you want from that. Frankie and Johnny, which I like. Glengarry Glen Ross, brilliant. Oh, Scent of a Woman, brilliant. Carlito's Way. 2 years later, he did Heat and City Hall.
Flipping out. Just
and
shows
then Donnie
you
Brasco, 97.
Oh, just shows you how like, perception can be off depending on what you're into at the time or how much attention you're paying. And as you say, there's some absolutely brilliant ones there. And even the ones I may not enjoy as much for whatever reason, not saying the bad films, but even like Dick Tracy.
He was
Oscar nominated, you know what I mean? So every one of them to some degree has got some real merit to it. So it just shows you how your perception can be off. And as I say, when I got it home, that only confirmed it because it was just brilliant from start to finish.
Eight nominations he's got, eight Oscar nominations.
Probably should have had more wins as well. You know, he's so good in so many different
And this
ways
wasn't one of them.
Films. Well, I saw something the other day, I'm probably saying his name wrong, Matt Solisites, who took over from Roger Ebert doing the reviews for, I think, the Chicago Tribune. And he said when he first watched it, he didn't really rate it. And he said he's watched it since then, and it's like a masterpiece. And he said, like, it must just be something to do with, you know, my age at the time or just, you know, sometimes you just watch something when you're in the wrong mood. And I wonder if that's why maybe I don't think it got the praise it probably deserved at the time, because maybe a lot of people had that perspective. But
I think at the time, was it because of Scent of a Woman as well? Because even though Scent of a Woman, he won an Oscar for that, didn't he?
Yeah.
I don't
still
think
got,
so.
Wasn't he critic? He did it on him?
Oh, no, he did. Yeah, I'm getting mixed up with Sea of Love, sorry.
Right. Even though it was well received, I think he was sort of critically panned, wasn't he? You know, as an actual actor, like the Who Has and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I think at that time, I don't know, he wasn't quite perceived to be like the cool actor he had been like a few years before, did he?
Yeah, no, that's a great point, Dan. I think
it's sort of diminished return, isn't it?
Yeah, true. And I think when it's something like Scent of a Woman as well, some people just aren't prepared to accept someone like him in a film like that, in a way. And sometimes it's, if the film isn't what your expectations are, even if it's good, sometimes you're a bit down on it anyway because of that, I think.
Yeah.
It is interesting looking at those films at the time, the range of them as well. Now going to move on, really, to look at, obviously, the film itself. Carl, obviously, it starts by giving away the end, really. What did you think of that? Do you think it improves the film, or would you have preferred it not to be the case?
I loved it. I really like that sort of thing. I like I like jumping time frames. Because let's face it, you when you're an hour into that film, you're not thinking he gets killed. You've just moved on.
No, you're right.
But you really know he's been shot anyway.
Yeah, true.
It doesn't really go to the stage where you think, oh, this is the end of the film. People like Pulp Fiction so much, I think, because Travolta gets killed and then he's in it for 45 minutes afterwards. Mm. So I don't mind that. Well, it's a clever way of storytelling, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree. What about yourself, Ben?
Yeah, I like it in the, it's showing you straight from the off, isn't it, that it's a tragedy.
Yeah.
Even though what Carl says is true in the, like, that you forget about it and you still think that he's going to get away with it. You still think, even right up to that final point, you still think he's going to make that train, and you've almost forgotten about the opening scene. And it's cleverly done, isn't it, that basically the entire film is Carlito recalling everything that just happened up to that point where he's on that stretcher.
I really like the idea. Imagine the idea of someone saying, oh, he gets shot, I might as well leave then.
Yeah, turn that off.
Yeah, I'm off that.
Because even when you remember that he's been shot a bit later on, you're waiting to see how this is going to come to pass, because there are so many people, aren't there?
Yeah.
That are almost out to get him. So many people that are ready to betray him that you're wondering where it's going to come from.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you both there. And it's like, although some people are really, you know, eagle-eyed and recognise that it's Benny Blanco, a lot of the time when you're watching something like that for the first time, you don't necessarily take everything in like that. So as you say, it's like, you know, someone shot him. And then it's, for the first sort of period, maybe you're thinking, well, how does he come from here to that point where he gets shot, when obviously he's now this trying to be a reformed character? But as you both said, it gets to a certain point, you're just so engrossed in the story itself that you forget all that, and it's only at the end that it comes back.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, and I think, as you say, that's a credit to De Palma and obviously the actors and the script and whatnot as well. What are your thoughts on the character of Carlito and obviously Pacino's performance, Ben?
It's like a grown-up Scarface, isn't it? I like it. He's more of a three-dimensional character. He's obviously being like this. You know, you can see the respect that other people have for him and his reputation. But he's trying to move on it. So it's not as... Scarface can be a bit two-dimensional, can't it? It's just all about him trying to win power, trying to earn more money, and just climb the ladder. Whereas this, it's a bit more complex, isn't it? He's being drawn back in into his old lifestyle. He's trying to escape that. He's trying to be a good person. He's just trying to be happy, isn't he? Trying to move on. So it's a really, really good complex character.
No, I agree. And you're right. There are those differences. He is a more three-dimensional character, and also a vital thing for me, which is rare in a lot of gangster films, I would say, is he's a really likeable character. Obviously, I'm sure when he was younger, Carlito wasn't such a likeable character, but at this point in his life, he really is, and it's nice to be around that character, and you want the best for him. Obviously, if you're watching Scarface, you may still want the best for him because that's what films do, and obviously you do grow to like that character, even though he's not as likeable. But I think Carlito is a genuinely likeable character. What about yourself, Carl?
I was going to say, I've got a bit of a problem with the, because he's sticking it to the judge, isn't he? The full speech, you're not accepting the award, Mr. Brigante. he really is sticking it to it, and you can tell by Kleiman basically thinks that, you did that on purpose, you tweaking his nose and stuff. So I thought that's slightly at odds, but of course he's going to be euphoric because he's got out. He doesn't do that sort of thing anymore. You know, he's more of a place of custard cream to in front of the telly rather than the gangster he's supposed to be. Well, it's a really interesting exercise about, can you go back into that world knowing people are scared of you or they respect you, and just turn your back and say, I don't want anything from you. I just want to get away. I want to get my money and head off. It's a really, really interesting in character. And you're right with Scarface, he's not going to change, is he?
No.
He just wants to basically kill as many people to get as much power as possible. And Carlito goes the other way, really. And Pacino's really good at that, and the sort of, the little glances he gives when he's involved in a conversation that he doesn't want to be involved in, as he says, that ain't me now.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he's sort of still trapped because he's still got the instincts. He still knows when, he can spot what's going on, in the pool scene and everything. When his little cousin gets killed, he can still spot all that. And, you can't take that out of him, really. And I think that's an internal struggle he's got. He just can't get it. Those instincts, they're always going to be there, those instincts.
Yeah, no, great points.
And can he ever be free? What? Sorry, I've got a bit Shakespearean here, but can he be free? Yeah. Is he allowed to be free? No, he's not.
Well, it's interesting. It's a very good comment. And I suppose the other thing as well is, whilst he's still in that environment, he actually needs those instincts, and he needs that sort of aura of strength and fear because, as he said later, the street's watching. And if he lets it be known that he is totally this new man with no threat whatsoever, he's in danger then, and obviously he needs to stay there to earn that money. And it is interesting that sort of balance he's got to strike between this reformed character but also staying safe and in that world. And I think that's one of the reasons why he's such an interesting character, really.
And times have changed as well, as he says early on in the film, I love the idea of that the youth got no respect for nothing anymore. I love that Pachanga's comments about that, when of course you were exactly the same, mate. All that happened is you've got old. No, nothing's changed. You've got old. That's the difference.
Yeah. No. Yeah, you're right. It's a perpetual thing in life and in films, isn't it? The newer generations are always worse, but they're always quite similar. The things, they've all, Carlito, got a reputation as, what is it, the JP Morgan of the smack business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I totally agree.
Is it Ron who says to him, he used to be you? No, that used to be you. And he says, no way was that me. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he's sort of, I think Carlito sees him as like a poor man's version. And there may well be some truth in it, but as you're saying, there's a hell of a lot of similarities, I think.
Yeah.
And obviously that clash between this young, ruthlessly ambitious Benny Blanco and Carlito, who's now sort of trying to go another route, is obviously a mismatch in those regards. What about your thoughts on the character of Dane Kleinfeld and obviously Sean Penn's performance, Carl? What did you think of that?
I've got a slightly controversial view about this whole film based on this one comment. It's his film.
Go on.
It's his film.
What, sorry?
Not Pacino's film. It's Sean Penn's film.
Mm-hmm.
He is absolutely fantastic in this film. He should have got top villain, and he won't, because it's Al Pacino. But the first time I saw it at the cinema, I walked out thinking, I wish there was more Dave Kleinfeld in it. I thought he was just absolutely phenomenal, because I was thinking about this before, about the role of the film is basically, can you basically go from a criminal past to legitimate? And of course, it only really hit me today that Dave Kleinfeld is the opposite. He's going from legitimate, and he desperately, desperately wants to be Carlito. Yeah. You know, so he starts killing people. And, you know, as he says at line, you know, you're a gangster now. You're not a lawyer, you're a gangster. And it only really hit me today that basically they cross over. And if anything, Kleinfeld, obviously because of coke and everything, Kleinfeld's far more reckless than probably Carlito ever was. Yeah. Just because he's not calculating, and Carlito is always calculating, always. But it's his film. You can't take your eyes off him. Everything's great, especially the hair. The hair's fantastic.
I think that was his idea as well, to have
that. He shaved it, didn't he? He shaved up his forehead.
Brilliant.
To look like he was going bald. There's a lot of quality hair going on in it. Tons of it.
You're not wrong. What about yourself, Ben?
Yeah, I think the first time I saw it, I didn't even recognise it as Sean Penn. I don't even think I was aware it was Sean Penn until the end. He's that unrecognisable, because he's normally like a really masculine character, isn't he? A really tough, aggressive character, whereas Dave Kleinfeld was particularly... compared to Carlito, he's quite a weak man, isn't he? He's obviously, you know, weak man in terms of he's an addict. I think he says something about, you know, the way like these mobsters come into his office, and I think he sees the way that people look at these characters, these mobsters, and respect them and fear them, and he wants a bit of that for himself, doesn't he? But I think Pacino says something along the lines from that scene you just mentioned there, when he said that, you know, you're a gangster now, and he says you can't, there's no late start in this life. Basically, you're playing, you can't like learn these skills. You can't learn like these instincts. You can't just pick this up. You need to have grown up in this.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point and a really good quote as well. And as you both say, the contrast between these characters, and, you know, with them going those two separate ways, it's fascinating as well. The way, like, you know, I know we'll be talking a bit more about the relationship in a moment, but it's like how there's, you know, Kleinfeld obviously sort of has massive respect for what Carlito's used to do. And now he's almost sneering at his ambitions to leave that life behind. And I love it where Carlito's line, where he says, you know, people who hire cars don't normally get shot and killed.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's that contrast between them, as you've both mentioned. And it was just really interesting to see, you know, that relationship. And I think one of the other things that is interesting or sad, I suppose, is that, you know, yous might have a different perspective on this, but I get the impression, although Dave does have some affinity for Carlito, he sees him more as sort of almost a possession or something who, you know, chips he can cash in or what he can get from him, whereas Carlito actually does describe him as a brother.
Yeah.
And it's horrible to see that contrast.
Well, for example, there's a bit where I can get... takes Carlito aside where he's in the club and says, you know, he's going to be hanging around, really rip him off. And Carlito basically just grabs hold of him and says, no, he's my brother. I look after him. Don't go anywhere near him. But Pechanga back, because Pechanga is pure anyway, because, you know, that's just the way he is. And it's quite ironic, the fact that, you know, as you say, you know, he's basically, Sean Penn just sees him as a possession, something he can cash in. But there's genuine affection going the other way, because he got him out of jail. And even though he sort of treats him like a sort of very, very active 5-year-old child all the time, you know, he's already pulling his gun, Benny Branco and Bone Blanco and that sort of stuff. It's a very strange relationship, whereas one man is crossed from another world and the others don't quite see it and recognise that until the very end of the film.
Points. What about yourself, Ben? Any more thoughts on that relationship at all?
It's his weakness, the relationship with Dave, isn't it? You were talking earlier on about his instincts and how he still has these instincts that he had before he went to jail. Like, you see the pool scene, which I'm sure we'll discuss. You see, instantly he walks in, Hutcherson's character, you know, he instantly knows what's going on. But with Dave, he seems a bit clouded by the friendship, doesn't he?
Yeah, definitely. And funnily,
his loyalty is his weakness.
True.
Yeah.
It's funny you should mention the pool scene as well, and it ties in with what you were both saying about the crossover of the two characters. In that pool scene, if you remember, he actually says afterwards to obviously his cousin, who's now dead, he said, "There ain't no friends in this business." But what he hasn't really realised fully is Dave's crossed over into that business. So his own instincts would have been right. Dave can no longer be his friend. Now he's in the gangster business because obviously, as he said himself, once you're in that business, there are no friends. So it's really sad that, like, he did, at that stage, he hasn't fully realised that Dave's crossed over to this side, and obviously it costs him. What about, obviously, Carl, the other main relationship for Carlito in this, other than Pechanga, of course, with Gail? What are your thoughts on that relationship, Carl?
It's necessary to the plot, I suppose.
I've got a feeling Ben's got a similar perspective.
I couldn't be asked.
Are you the same, Ben?
Yeah, when I rewatched it this time, it bored the arse off me. It's I think she's poorly cast, poorly written. You could almost just cut those scenes. It's like Carl says, it's necessary for what's driving him to stay straight and to go to the Bahamas and the rest of it. But it's painful watching the painful scenes where she makes him break into her apartment. That's just it's a real weak point of the film.
Yeah, no. It seems like it's from another film, that bit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Joe Cocker's playing in it. No, it's just...
We're back to the drama at Star Wars again. We need it for the plot, but God, it slows it down. It really... And also, it's a really poorly written character, I think, as well, because she says, you know, have you killed anyone, Carlito? Then eventually he says, well, yeah, because I had to, because, you know, and just that speech about, you know, if you were from the Bronx, you weren't allowed to go to Harlem or whatever. And she basically goes, all right, then.
And it's just really, it comes out of nowhere. And also, it's like, it sort of undermines her character, because if she doesn't realise that he will have killed people, I know she doesn't know everything about him, but if she's got any intelligence and she's portrayed as having some.
So she's fine with him going to jail as a major drug trafficker. But no, he's all, no, I can change him, Mum. I know what he's like. As long as he hasn't killed anyone. For God's sake.
I don't have as much of a downer on it as you two, but I think a hell of a lot of people think similar to you.
It's both. Necessary.
Yeah. No, you're right. As you both said, it is the main motivation. I think we'll all enjoy these interactions that we're going to discuss more than Gail and Carlito. What are your thoughts on Carlito's interactions with Benny Blanco, Ben?
I think it brings out the worst in him, doesn't it? Yeah, he's trying to go straight, but it almost brings out his gangster instincts. Yeah. Yeah. He sees this fella, and I don't know whether it's because he reminds him of himself that when he was like a young punk coming up, or whether he thinks, no, I was much better than that. Benny shows him like a lot of respect, doesn't he? You know, absolute respect and reverence. But he just can't deal with him. He just can't stand him. He doesn't like the idea that, you know, he even has to like acknowledge this fella. That just wants to, you know, sit down and have a chat with him. And it's that scene when he's asking him like, you know, I've been with made men, who have you been with? And it's that great line, isn't it? About, was a chain snatching jive ass, whatever. I can't quite remember. It's a great line, isn't it? Like,
go snatch your purse. can I ask the question? It's a very vital one. Where's Benny Blanco from? For God's sake, I don't know. Yeah, we get it. We know where he's from. At no point have I ever called myself Carl from Crocky 14 times a day. I changed the Twitter name now. I've done that.
You Carl should do, Crocky. Mate. You should do.
Yeah. I don't know what relevance that is either. I know he's from the other side of the river, isn't he? Because this is Harlem. This is Seth.
I think so.
Spanish Harlem around there, over 110th Street, all that sort of stuff. And imagine the Bronx. I think they're trying to say he comes from a slightly different neighborhood, but, you know, he comes over with some power and some respect. But after a while, I'm pretty sure I know where Benny's from. Do you know what it reminded me of today? Sorry to bring this back to football. Can you remember the time, you know, Frank Lampard? When did Frank Lampard stop being Frank Lampard Jr.?
Oh, yeah.
Was there a day? Was there a meeting? At some point, Benny Blanco stops being from the Bronx and keeps being Benny. He's just Benny Blanco.
Well, obviously, with you two being journalists, and while we're on the football, when did Andy Cole stop being Andy, become Andrew, and then go back to Andy? Because he changed his name.
That was a copyright thing, wasn't it?
Was it, yeah? Well,
wasn't it? It was something like that. Yeah, he had to be known as Andrew Cole because someone else had Andy, or he was getting mixed up with somebody else.
Oh, that's crazy.
He wasn't Andy Cole from Nottingham. Andrew Cole from Nottingham, which is what he should have been put in the programmes and stuff.
You've got to give credit though. Benny Blanco from the Bronx does have a ring to it. Yeah, you know what I mean, it really does. And it's funny. I think if I ever do refer to him, I do give him that full title. You know, if I'm ever talking about.
Well, he even reintroduces himself. He said, "Do you remember me, Carlito? Benny Blanco. Benny Blanco from the Bronx." I know Benny Blanco, but I'm not sure about. You're the one from the Bronx. That's right. Yeah.
there's a few Benny Blancos one, yeah. Running around. Oh, brilliant.
There must be a local pub called Benny Blanco from Harlem.
he's in a different film. I think with us going off piste a little bit there, this is probably a great time to have a short break.
It just always bothered me. We know where Benny's from, Max.
I love it.
But Ben's right. I'm not calling you Benny, Ben, by the way. He's only from the... it's the mistake he makes. It's something that's riled within him, isn't it? He just sees, okay, no, I don't deal with you anymore. Then it becomes more sort of, you're actually nothing, you don't even speak to me. Whereas anyone, if we'd walked into that bar and said hello to him, he'd say hello and be perfectly nice. But if there's something in him that he recognises and think, you know, ordinarily I'd turn my back on you, but... Mm-hmm. I actually have to show you some disdain as well.
Yeah.
And it's something he can't fight. It's his nature.
I think part of it might be as well, sometimes when we're rationalising or we're moving past something, sometimes it's a lot easier to say, you know, I did that, but I had class. So although I don't like that past, at least I had class, or I did it with a certain style, or, you know, or at a certain level, like with made men. So it makes you feel better sometimes to, like, he's putting someone else down who's doing it to make him, I weren't quite that bad. You know, I wonder if it's a bit of that. But as you both say, whatever the reasons, it definitely brings out some of that inner gangster.
He's rolling his shoulders, isn't he? He's rolling his shoulders to say, like, you know, I am the name here. And even when he says, you know, you're the JP Morgan of Smack and stuff, he even sort of denies that in a sort of, oh, you know, I've never heard that before.
Yeah, yeah. And I think he doesn't like being reminded of just how integral to his life Smack was as well, I think, as part of that too. But, yeah, he definitely riles him massively. I think that's a good place to have a short break for a few adverts.
You're listening to the Anfield Index podcast channel.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm now going to discuss some of the more memorable scenes from the film, and I suppose one of the ones that obviously is memorable is our first real introduction to Carlito in the courtroom scene. What are your thoughts on that, Carl, that scene?
There's a lot of bluster, isn't there? There's lots of peacock strutting, and
yeah.
I like the way he can grab the feds by saying thank you very much for making the tapes in an illegal fashion, and which is odd because he's not really like that for any other part of the film. He's not really that triumphant.
True.
Because obviously, I imagine it's because when the second he comes outside, he's got to plan a new life straight away.
Mm-hmm.
But it's his last little sort of hurrah, and his last little sort of flutter of his feathers, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so, very much so. What about yourself, Ben? Have you got any thoughts on that scene?
I don't know whether I was just in a bad mood when I rewatched the film, but it annoyed me a little bit, especially when he gets outside and he's dancing. When he's dancing with Sean Penn. I think it's because we've seen the rubbish that Pacino's done since, and you start thinking, oh no, don't start going like that. Don't start moving into that character. Whereas maybe at that point when you first saw it, you weren't quite aware of like some of like the abysmal stuff that he'd go on to do.
I suppose I was slightly different. I really enjoyed where he was like, particularly outside, because you don't normally see someone of, playing a gangster have such glee and sort of, be so overjoyed with something in maybe a bit of a silly way. So I really liked that because to me it was like, showing you just how much real joy. And I liked seeing, his sincerity about going straight. He did overplay it. And as the judge said, he's not winning any or accepting any awards or anything. But I think I like just seeing, the utter joy of getting this freedom. But I definitely take both your points. I can see how for some it will be a bit.
Just because he never goes back to it. He's not like that again through any time in the film.
True.
And every now and then, you look around and say, yeah, I'm out. This is great, I'm out. But he never goes back to that mood ever again.
I wonder if that's because he sort of had that sort of I'm out, and then he's like, actually, I'm still in this prison of the city. I think he says about, what the city's like, and it's always watching. And I think until he's free from there and, in the Bahamas, I think it was where he was going, I think he has that momentary release of being really happy, and then it's like,
yeah.
Now I'm having to mix with, is it Rolando Rivas and Pachanga and people like that? These are all, I know some he's got affection for, but they're all ruthless people. So I wonder if it's like he has that momentary release and then it's like, actually, I'm still not fully out because I'm still in this place where, someone can come back to haunt you from years ago and kill you, or you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I wonder if it's that. But I always try to do that. I always try and see the best, really. But I definitely take your point. Now going to look at probably the most, at least one of the most memorable scenes from the film. We mentioned it earlier, the trick shot scene. What did you think of that scene, Ben?
I think it's worth watching the film just for that scene, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I've got a lot of problems with De Palma sometimes. He does a lot of things wrong, or a lot of things are hammy, but he's brilliant at building suspense, and the suspense in that scene is fantastic. From the moment he walks into that back room, he knows what's going to happen, doesn't he? I think the only problem maybe is he could have done a bit more to save his cousin. He knows what's coming. He sees the fella going past him. He just can't quite do it in time, can he? It's all a bit intricate to try and, if he's going to save his cousin. But it's an absolutely fantastic scene, the way they build that suspension. And you wonder what is it building up to? And the fact it comes at about 15 or 20 minutes into the film, from that moment on, this film's going to be fantastic, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. What about yourself, Carl? What were your
There's some lovely cliches. I love the main gangster. I love just how South American his accent is. Like, he puts on 15% more. Calito! That's at one point, which I really like. I heard you, man. And it's just got... I like the fact it's a really, really horrible place. They've obviously got a girl in hot pants. So it's like he's ticked every box from the 90s to 70s, and we need that.
The bright red walls.
Yeah, there's a bit of Mean Streets in that. I think there's a pool scene in Mean Streets in it, and it's lit very, very red, and I thought there's a little nod towards that. But yeah, it's great. The fact, the music, turn the music up because he loves that song. Now you turn the music up because we know it's going to kick off really big in a minute. And it's also that scene has got my favorite ever line in the film, which is, "This shot will make you change your religious beliefs." I've used that a million times since.
Oh, it is a great line, and as you both say, it's so well shot, that scene, and obviously it really highlights Carlito's his intelligence and his ability to improvise. coming up with this trick shot that allows them to walk around and see all the different angles of the room, you know, using the mirrored shades to see behind them and actually using a trick shot to actually hit someone is pretty impressive. And just as well, like you both said, I mean, the music really adds to the tension as well. And little things like just seeing the door move slightly and then and being clever enough to test this theory by asking, can he go to the toilet? And just so
that,
many
that bit's really
things.
Bad, though. That bit's really bad. No, no, you can't go. It's backed up and like leaps across him. Oh, yeah, nothing to be suspicious of there.
Yeah, yeah, not a dodgy, not no, a dodgy going on.
In the toilet with all his life, well, as he does quite literally.
Yeah, no, it's such a good scene and so much about it. And I think it's another example in the build-up of another example where sort of the more, obviously I'm speculating here, but I think the more sort of softer Carlito does a favour for his cousin when his instincts are telling him not to go.
Yeah.
He's told his cousin not to do it. And I think he just wants to be nice to his cousin and he goes and like, all of a sudden, he's in this sort of life or death situation that even in one of the best case scenarios, he could be straight back in prison. Obviously, that doesn't happen because of how well he handles it. But his cousin dies and just, I know his cousin would have died anyway, but it's just another example of where he doesn't fully go with his instincts. He sort of, maybe it's a softer side now. He goes with that and obviously it goes bad.
Oh, but how naive is his cousin as well?
Oh, I know.
It's like he's gone to a picnic.
Yeah.
He's having a nice day out at the beach. You know, not doing a major drug deal.
Yeah, especially in a place like that, you know, it's clearly a very, very rough part of town, you know what I mean? It's like, as happened, you'd think he'd be eaten alive, and obviously that is what happens, isn't it, with him, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, To quote a mate of mine about a pub we went to once, it's not really the sort of place you take someone on a first date.
definitely not.
Big
and
grip.
Even I think it's great as well. I thought probably I've seen this in other films, but I can't think of any like where he actually runs out of bullets and has to like use sort of psychology to try and, you know, here comes the pain and all that. To some extent, I presume using his reputation as well. Obviously, it's not really needed because he's already dealt with everyone, although he doesn't know it. But obviously, he's got this massive reputation, so I think he's sort of trying to use that. But as we say, it's not really needed.
Now, I like the way he also pulls the gun on the bloke outside.
Oh,
I love that. I really like that.
I always think of you like me. I always think, imagine being that poor fella just coming around the corner and you got that in your face. You know what I mean?
As well, when he's running away down the street, he looks like the most suspicious fella ever, don't he? You know, he's got his sense on. He's got like this
dressed
long
like head. Mad Max.
And all these people have just been murdered and he's like doing a leg and anyone in the corner. Yeah.
Yeah, and also the police aren't great because they turn up just as he's walking away hurriedly, and you would think you'd maybe check out that fella moving away quite quickly.
Exactly. See the bloke with the big specs on and a massive coat.
On one of the hottest days of the year as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, but no, really good scene, and I'm glad you both like it as much as me, clearly. What about, we're going to look at some of the other scenes now. What are your thoughts on the scene where Dave asked Carlito for a favour to help him with the prison break and obviously the subsequent murder of the made men?
Sorry, can I go slightly back on that a minute?
Yeah, of course.
The very first Tony T scene,
mm-hmm.
Where he goes to meet him on the barge. How great is Tony T?
Oh.
Just how fantastic is that actor? My God, he's horrible.
I wouldn't be surprised. I haven't looked it up or anything, but sometimes you see someone, don't you, and you think, I wouldn't be surprised if he's legitimately a really hard, scary guy.
Frank Minucci, his name is, and he's not on Wikipedia. I looked it up.
Oh, I see.
Just because he looks that bona fide, I thought I'd look him up.
He's like a hulking figure as well. I think he says something about snapping Dave's neck, and he looks like the type of guy who could quite easily do it as well.
He even coughs in a gangsterish fashion.
Yeah.
He coughs aggressively.
Yeah, because, I mean, with some people that I know we're talking about little details, but it's part of what makes the film so good, I suppose. With some people who have a cough like that, it will project weakness, but you don't at any stage think this guy's weak.
Yeah.
Do you? You know, you know it all at every part of that, you know, what he's capable of. What do you think of actually the bit with the favour then, Carl?
It's an exercise on how coked up can one man be and still talk. Because he's great in that scene, isn't he? I think that's the scene which basically, I think that's where he takes over. Because he's so manic and so hyper. And this sounds such a stupid thing to say, but this, I always think this. How can he be so nasty to Steffi? Steffi's lovely. Don't shout at Steffi. I'll be honest, mate. You may have overreached a bit there with Steffi.
Definitely.
He's not really in your league. And he's just... he's just the best host in the world because he just screams at everyone. And I found out yesterday that he got on really well. Sean Penn got on really well with De Palma. But when they shot this scene, they had a disagreement about it. And he said Sean Penn was yelling at him all day. And then when De Palma got home, his phone went as he walked in. And he got another half an hour of Sean Penn yelling at him down the phone.
Flipping
out. Something he didn't like. So it was obviously the performance is just amazing in that, isn't it?
No, totally.
Because Pacino just lets him go. You carry on.
Yeah.
It's just an absolutely fantastic scene. It is the crossover point for me where he just thinks, well, this is suddenly someone else's film. It's someone else's story. And the story is now about how the main character helps somebody else because he's no longer the biggest character in the film. I love him. I absolutely love Dave Kleinfeld. He's one of my favourite characters ever.
He is brilliant. What about yourself, Ben?
It goes back to what we were talking about before when we were saying for a fellow with like all these instincts so attuned to everything around him that he trusts his mate even though he can see he's coked up, he can see he's reckless and he can see it's like a ridiculous plan, isn't it?
What can go wrong?
But he still goes along with it through loyalty, and loyalty is his big weakness, isn't it? Especially when it comes to Dave, that he just can't see past that.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's like, obviously, Dave is clearly the type of friend who will always get him into trouble, at least at this part of his life where he starts at this descent. But he's the legitimate one.
That's the thing. He's legitimate.
Yeah. And he's got, like, in a lot of ways, other than obviously talking career-wise, that's Carlito just wants normalcy. And Dave isn't just normal. He's got this big flash holiday home, obviously, through ill-gotten gains, but he's got this flash apartment as well, and like Carlito just wants a normal life without this threat of violence all the time, and he wants a relationship, and obviously Dave's, as you say, in this perfect position to have all that and wants all the stuff that Carlito's trying to get away from, and it is interesting that the dynamic between the two. And
I think it's not as if he's not being warned, because is that after the Laline scene?
I think it is, I think it is.
Yeah.
So he already knows, and also the I'm not sure it is. It's the scene where Benny Blanco brackets from the Bronx comes back and he pulls his piece on him, and he says, "Oh, give me your gun, Dave." I can't remember if that's before or after that scene. It's not as if it's a very small increments to him changing. He just goes 100% gangster.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And as we touched on earlier on, he doesn't just do that because of that lack of knowledge that Carlito's talking about. It's like an amateur gangster. He's doing things, wrong, I imagine, in Carlito's day. And obviously this comes back to haunt him. I imagine the type of guy he was, if you pull a gun, you've probably got to use it against these type of people, because otherwise, they'll come back for you. And, Dave's offending, what look like mafia guys or gangsters, at least left, right and centre. And, he's just, as we said, just doing it wrong. And I think, as Ben said, that whole loyalty thing, Carlito's instincts again are telling him this wrong. He's like laughing at the idea of, the gangster swimming to the thing and picking him up, and how ludicrous this plan seems to be.
Yeah.
But still that loyalty just pulls him in, and he can't help himself.
And he gets that warning, doesn't he, when they're in the nightclub? When Sean Penn's properly coked up and he wants to start the fight with the fellow who's dancing with Gail, and then he starts talking about the plan in front of the women, doesn't he? And he's telling him to shut up, and he's just blurting it all out. You can see at that point that, should he be going through with this?
Exactly. It's just purely destructive, isn't it? That bit, that he just wants to cause trouble for no other reason than just because it's something he wants to do. There's no reason for him to discuss the plan. So, yeah, you're right. He's had so many warnings about him. But that, as he says, I think he says to Gail at one point, that's who I am, right or wrong. Probably part of the reason why he can become someone who you would regard as a really good person, or he had the potential to become, is that loyalty. But in this case, it's just misplaced for the totally wrong character, isn't it?
You killed us, Dave. That's the big line, yeah. Isn't it? You killed us.
Just completely sums it up, and is so true, as you say. What about your thoughts on the scenes following the murder as the tension builds and eventually that excellent chase sequence, Ben?
I like it just because it's got Johnny Boy Soprano, Tony Soprano's dad, not just for that reason, but that he's such a menacing looking actor, the fella, Joseph Sirivo or something like that. But he's the one who kills Kleinfeld in the hospital, and then he's the one who comes to the nightclub and he sees him at that point. But just when they go into that chase scene, it must be about 15, 16 minutes long, and it's never dull. I normally hate chase scenes in films, but it was absolutely fantastic. Didn't it take them something like 7 or 8 months to film?
Ages, because they wanted to use the World Trade Center, but it just got bombed. So he thought he's going to have to go back but redo the Untouchables again and do the same sort of, you know, where it was the staircase, it's an escalator now.
So they had
to go back and change it.
Doesn't that show you, though, how sometimes, you know, so often in films and in life, something you can't do helps you do something great, you know? Obviously, it may well have been great using the World Trade Center, but that whole sequence culminating in Grand Central is just magnificent. And the Grand Central part of it itself is just so well done. And, you know, I'm a bit like Ben. I don't normally like chase sequences, but I like the fact this had so many different sort of parts to it. It weren't all the same, or it weren't all, say, a car chase or something. It was all sorts of different parts on foot, on train, up and down.
Again, it's the tension, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
The Palmer builds in that tension, you know, like when he runs past the fat guy in the train and he blocks off like the other lads chasing him. And then is the military got on the train at the same?
Yeah.
It's absolutely fantastic.
It is. Couldn't agree more. What about yourself, Carl? What are your thoughts on this sequence?
Well, the gangsters are terrible. They really are awful. The whole sort of, hey, come on, sit down. I thought this guy was Italian. That's the worst mob acting I've ever seen in my life. We're here to kill you, Carlito. That's why we've come. Can we just sit down for a bit? We're discussing how we're going to kill you. They're just so bad. They're so bad at doing that, which I thought was really, really nice. Because, you know, they're not geniuses, these people.
I think that's a great point,
Around about that level, it's just so bad. And I love the main bloke's suit is fantastic. The bloke with the big salt and pepper moustache and hair with slick back, he looked really, really good. And that Vinny Tagliolucci just looks thick. Johnny Boy Soprano just looks thick. And yet, when they kick into action, it's like they've done it a million times.
Oh, yeah. And they're sort of like, obviously at times this isn't the case, but just how, you know, as these, you know, made men, they just don't care, you know, they're chasing through the streets like that, you know, like they're above the law, aren't they? And I love all that, you know, it's just showing you how little regard for everything else these people have got and how hard it is to evade people who basically, if they have to, will just start having a firefight in this crowded station, you know. That's how ruthless they are and that's how badly they want Carlito.
And they all hate each other as well. All they do is argue.
Calling
each other idiots and more. All the time. I love that. That's really good. I love the big fat bloke, though. The big fat bloke's fantastic. I'm so glad he was in it.
He really has ascension as well. His sort of, you know, his tiredness and his wheezing and all that type of thing.
Yeah.
He really has ascension throughout, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I'm now going to move on from that to really, I suppose, we've covered a lot here, but there's so many little moments and characters and scenes in the film that we haven't touched on, like the likes of Viggo Mortensen as Laleen.
Laleen is fantastic.
Oh, he's so good, isn't he? You know, just such a small role, but just so good in it. Any others or anything further you want to say on that, Carl?
Well, Laleen's got the most Puerto Rican accent I've ever had. He has to end every sentence with the word man as high-pitched as possible. That's fun. I love the way he does that. Yeah, he's really good. I mean, To be honest, I could podcast on Pechanga. I think he's the best thing in the film.
Oh, he's hilarious, isn't he?
Because he looks amazing. He looks absolutely amazing. And he looks so shifty that when he says, you know, he's a man, I need a bodyguard. Oh, yeah, I can get you Pechanga. You know, he's a man I trust. Then you see him and think, you're trusting him, aren't you? And then
you would reconsider that deal, wouldn't you? If you said to your mate Carlito, who's like sort of got it all, hasn't he? You'd be thinking, maybe you'll do it, Carlito. And he's like, no, I've got a mate who's just like me. And then Pechanga turns up, he'd be like, no,
I'll have trust him. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. I'll buy that. Yeah.
I love as well, like, one of my favourite things about him is sort of the more street version of. You know, the Godfather, it's strictly business sort of thing. Here's one at the end when he's just helped to get Carlito shot, where he's just like, this is just the way things have got to be sometimes, Pappy, or something. Exactly. Like that. It's just like, oh, well, that makes it all right then, Pechanga. Yeah, no, so good. Any moments or characters or scenes we haven't touched on for you, Ben, that you really like?
No, they were two of the best, particularly Pechanga. He's, like you say, he's just such a shifty looking fella, isn't he?
Yeah.
No, everything he's ever been in, he can only play that character, can he? Is it Luis Guzman?
Yeah, Luis Guzman, yeah. Oh, and Sasso's great as well. Sasso was the worst
in
the film. The worst actor in the film. But apparently he doesn't speak English, so that's
he was a comedian, wasn't he?
He looked so wooden. Doesn't speak a word of English.
Was he a South American comedian or something?
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah. He's a TV comedian.
And it's funny, isn't it? Because it works. It really works, doesn't it, with him? You know what I mean? It's got a lot of those characters who are like, you know, quite small characters in the film, but they're very memorable. And it's just, I think it's clever as well. Obviously, I know we laughed at it a bit earlier on, but how it uses certain things to make people stand out. So like we say, Benny Blanco from the Bronx stands out so much more, but so does that sort of, you know, Sasso now wants to be Ron. And I love that line where he says, you know, they'll go, when you're found dead in the back of a car, they'll go, that's Sasso, man. And then he goes, used to be Ron. Just brilliant little moments like that. And I suppose that takes us nicely onto the final question, really, about, obviously, there's so many great lines in the film. Do you have any favourites at all, Ben?
Obviously, the big two are it's the one in the toilet, isn't it? In the pool scene, where you say, you know, you think you're big time, you're going to die big time, that whole speech. And the line he gives to Benny Blanco about, you know, who have you been with? And what is it? Is it chain snatching, jive talking, jive ass,
Madison
focus, or something like that? Fantastic.
Oh, yeah. No, the great lines there. You know, as you say, right the way through that bit of dialogue, that there's so much from those two scenes.
It's the way he snaps into that line as well, the way he snaps it, the way he says, you know, you remember me, Benny Blanco, maybe you've forgotten I'm Benny Blanco, maybe I don't give a shit. It's the way, it's like a click of a finger. Maybe I don't give a shit. Oh, all right, okay, we're here now, are we?
Oh, and as you say, it's such a good put down from, like, you know, to him, like an idol of his. Imagine that coming back at you when you're just trying to sort of, you know, ingratiate yourself and someone says, maybe I don't give a shit. It's just that, oh...
Well, to his credit, the way he smiles back at him is really, really, it's really unnerving. Even like, you know, when he's about, just before he gets thrown down the stairs.
Yeah.
The way he puts his nose right up to him and basically says, you know, this isn't over. The way he just smiles at him. Anybody, I thought that was really well done. Because he doesn't look put out. He's angry, obviously, but he thinks, you know, I'm in control. It's all right.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you're right.
And he's from the Bronx. Which
helps. And I think he was brilliant in it as well, John Leguizamo. I think I read that a lot of his lines were improvised. And, you know, obviously sometimes they say that and it may not be true, but whether they were or they weren't, he was so convincing. And I think, as you say, it's so unnerving. You know, he clearly has that thing that maybe Carlito's lost. He doesn't have that fear anymore. You know, he's young and ruthless and he's not scared. You know, he probably has that thing of feeling invincible. I think
he probably is one we haven't touched on as well, but I don't think much when he throws him down the steps, and that's obviously the pivotal moment in saving his life, isn't it? You know, he doesn't take that action.
That whole speech.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he says, doesn't he? Because it was one of the lines I was going to mention. So yeah, I'm glad you've touched on it. don't move, man, don't move.
Yeah.
But it's like those old reflexes coming back, and it's like, yeah, like we mentioned earlier on, I think it's, he's halfway in and halfway out. His instincts are right. He handles it half right, but just doesn't finish the job.
And so does Kleinfeld, because if you remember, the first thing Kleinfeld says to him is, tell me he's in a car, tell me he's in a car. You're a lawyer, mate. You don't say things like that. Tell me he's in a car. So he's crossed over there as well.
True, yeah.
And he loses Pechanga at that point as well, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Because Pechanga's not fucked off, then he can't shoot someone.
Oh, that was another great Pechanga moment, wasn't it? Where he was like, come on, man, it'll be fun. So it's about the location. And such a great character, Pechanga. I think that's probably a good place to end, unless either of you have
got any... Can we just change the name of the film to Pechanga's Way? Let's take a boat.
They brought out a sequel, didn't he? Which was like a prequel to Carlito's Way. Yeah. Was he in it?
He was in it, playing a different character.
I'm now going to watch it just for that, you know.
Oh, I've got to, yeah. Please tell me it's this film, Pechanga's Way. I'm watching that. I'm watching Pechanga.
I think if it's on something there, Carl, that would have done brilliant business, Pechanga's Way. I'd watch that tonight, like. Oh, brilliant, brilliant. Have you got any final thoughts at all, Ben?
No, I think that's everything covered, mate.
And yourself, Carl?
I think it's an important film in where Pacino was in his life, because I still think my emotional memory of that was, it's Pacino on the turn, and this is like 3 years before, sorry, 4 years before Donnie Brasco, and I think it's a really good film because it's not Pacino's film, it's just sold to us that way, and he's that good in it that he lets someone else take the plot from him. It's really well done.
You're right, that, you know, obviously he's magnificent and so is Sean Penn, but I think it is a credit to Pacino that he does let someone else be the more showy part, and it shows that, obviously we know this anyway from his career, how great he could be, but sometimes it's easy to forget that, you know, the range this guy's got, and obviously he did get very shouty later in his career and whatnot, but...
Well, Heat, all he does is shout. Heat. There's no acting involved at all.
Well, I still love Heat, but I totally take what you're saying. And, you know, a lot of people feel the same way about that. And I think it's good to remember, you know, as well as obviously his earlier works where he was, you know, even better again, that even in the 90s, like you mentioned earlier on, there were so many really good Pacino performances.
Well, Donnie Brasco he's a work of genius in that. He's so good.
Heartbreaking, isn't it?
And because he doesn't look frightening. Yeah. That's the best thing about it, in that. And then I really like Insomnia, actually. I thought it's a really underrated film.
Yeah.
I thought he was very good in that, because I remember thinking, oh, he's acting again now.
Yeah.
He's not playing Al Pacino.
True. Yeah. No, couldn't agree more. I think that's probably a great place to end. So I'd just like to firstly thank you both for coming on. I've really enjoyed chatting to you both about this film. And thanks to the listeners for listening again. Where can people find more of your work or find you on Twitter, Carl?
On Twitter, I am The Sensei, Thecacenci. I've got a fun. So is this plug time? I've got a book out with Slash Nakrani called We're Everywhere Us, which was about two seasons ago, but not about football, about fans. And I've got a novel called And What Do You Do?
Great. Fully recommend people check out Carl's Twitter and those two books. And yourself, Ben?
Just on Twitter, @B_Thornley.
That's great.
Do you not mention where you're from, Ben? I think that's what Ben said.
Benny Thornley.
It's got a ring, isn't it?
Twitter.
quality. And just to say, if anyone's got any feedback or any film recommendations or anything like that, you can find me at joesimpson79 @joesimpson or AIMovieNight @AIMovieNight. Thanks once again to you both, and thanks to everyone who's listening. Thank you.
Good luck.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.